The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text Number 20, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 24th October of 1982 in Mumbai, India.
Gopi jana bala bhavala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Admilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru, Shri Uta Pada Kamalan, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta, Shri Lupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Ragunathan Mitantham Sajevam, Sadvetam Savadhutam, Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
So the difference between the approach of a materialist and a devotee is indicated in this verse. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, O my Lord Shri Krishna, please be merciful upon me. The devotee, he is completely dependent upon Krishna. Whereas the non-devotee, he is always attempting to find a solution by his own endeavors. Prahlad Maharaj has stated, Yadyata iva karmani vidvanmani asakarnara karoti yato apayasam amogam vindanti phalam. That the tragedy of the materialist is that he's always thinking that he has a solution to his problems, but in reality, if the result is there's nothing but frustration and frustration. So Lord Krishna is Akhila. Akhila means complete and Kila means inferior. So Krishna is Akhila, complete, and the living entities are Kila or inferior. Just like the two types of Prakriti, Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti. Apara Prakriti refers to the material nature and the Para Prakriti refers to the transcendental abode of the Lord or the divine energy of the Lord. So, the Supreme Lord, as Shukadeva Goswami has very beautifully described in this verse, is the worshipable Lord of all devotees. The devotees are those who take shelter of the Supreme Lord. There are different types of transcendentalists. But those who are intelligent They only take shelter of the Supreme Lord in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj has analyzed different types of transcendentalists. He says, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Bhakti refers to those who take to religion by following the Karma Kanda portion, and the goal is to realize some type of economic gain or sense gratification. Mukti refers to those who are taking to a process of self-realization for the purpose of becoming one with the Lord or becoming free from the cycle of birth and death. Siddhi refers to those who are trying to perfect one of the 8 different types of mystic yogas. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Kami means lusty. So whether one is a bhakti or on the path of mukti or trying to realize the 8 mystic perfections which are known as siddhi, he is to be considered to be lusty, kami. And because he is lusty, shakali ashanta. Because they are lusty, they, all of them, grouped together, are ashanta. Ashanta means not peaceful. And on the other hand, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Ata Eva Shanta. In comparison, the devotees of Krishna, because they are Niskama, Niskama means because they are without material desires, they are to be considered to be Shanta. Shanta means they are to be considered to be peaceful. So, the devotees of the Lord, they have no material desire, and they are peaceful because they are worshipping Lord Shri Krishna, who is the Lord of all devotees. In the purport, Prabhupada makes reference to the worship of the demigods. So those who are real devotees, they are Niskama. And those who approach the demigods generally are those who have some type of material benefit. Those who want some type of material benefit. And these devotees are called Sakama. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who desire material facilities or those who have material desires, they go to the demigods. They do not come to me. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, my dear Lord Shri Krishna, who is the worshipful Lord of all devotees. So Krishna is the worshipful Lord of all who are Niskama, of those devotees who have no material desires. Then Shukadeva Goswami says, the protector and the glory of all kings. So, Krishna is the protector of everyone. It is not that the living entity can be saved by a bank balance or some different relatives. Just like when somebody wants to join the Krishna conscious movement, let's say, especially with a young man, the parents, especially in India, are very resentful to it. They say, oh, this son of mine is supposed to take care of me in my old age, isn't it? But they don't realize that the ultimate protection is provided by the Supreme Lord. And if the Lord is pleased, He will protect. Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Who Krishna wants to protect, no one can annihilate. And who Krishna wants to annihilate, nobody can protect. So, Krishna is the supreme protector of every living entity. It is not that if one has a son or a daughter or a bank balance or some property, one will be able to obtain protection. This is the illusory energy. Illusory energy means it makes the false appear to be real. Just like in the night you may dream, but in the morning when you get up, you don't think that the dream is real. You know that that was just a dream. So similarly, illusory energy means it tries to make you believe in something, but in reality that thing does not exist. So, the Supreme Lord is the protector. In the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, the so-called relatives, property, bank balance, all these are called fallible soldiers. We are thinking that we can obtain protection from those who themselves are unable to protect themselves. So if one is unable to protect himself, where is the question of one offering protection to others? It is just not conceivable. The non-devotee cannot understand this, and hence we see that in the mature world, there is such great emphasis today upon trying to build up armaments, stock up nuclear weapons. As we know, there is what you call an arms race going on, because they are thinking that the better equipped one is militarily, the more protection one will be able to offer to its citizens. But the reality is that if one obtains the protection of Krishna, if one obtains the mercy of Krishna, then that is the real security that one can obtain. The Duryodhana and his brothers did not know that Krishna is a real source of protection. So when they had a choice to choose between Krishna and the armies, they chose the armies. And the Pandavas selected Krishna to be on their side. And in the end, the Pandavas were victorious over the Kauravas, who numerically were greater than them. So the point is that the intelligent person, he takes shelter of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj has very beautifully stated, Nate vidum swartha gatim hi Vishnu, durasya ye bahir arthamanina, andha yathande rupani amanas. The meaning of this verse is that people do not know where lies their happiness and swartha gati. Because they do not know where lies their happiness, they are just misled. Just like Prahlad Maharaj says, Maya sukhaya bharam udvato vimudam, that they're trying to convert a miserable position into a position of happiness and shelter. So this is the tragedy of the materialist, that he doesn't understand, even after so many experiences, that the real protection cannot be available by any material arrangement. In the English language, there's a saying, once burned, twice shy. But that unfortunately doesn't apply to one who is blind to the purpose of human life. Even though the materialist gets burnt at every stage, still some or the other he is hoping that a situation may arise in which burning will not take place. But the burning is bound to take place because Krishna has declared Dukhalayama Shashatam. That is, these two points characterize material existence. One is the principle of misery, the other is the fact that everything is very temporary. So Krishna is also described in this verse by Shukadeva Goswami to be the husband of all goddesses of fortune. Krishna is the husband of the goddesses of fortune. There is the picture of Lakshmi ji, who is always massaging the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. People in India do Lakshmi Puja. Diwali time they do Lakshmi Puja. But like they are worshipping Lakshmi, but Lakshmi herself is worshipping Krishna. So why not go directly to Krishna? Isn't it so foolish? Because we do not have enough faith that Krishna is the source of everything. Because we do not have faith that Krishna will give us protection. In the Bhagavad Gita, after giving all the instructions, Krishna says, Sarva dhammam paritajya, give up everything and surrender to me. Ma suchaha, I will protect you from all sinful reaction. So when Krishna is saying, give up everything and surrender to me, I will protect you, still we tend to hesitate. That is because of a lack of complete faith in the words of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is the husband of the goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi ji is herself massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. So the devotees of Krishna, they understand that Krishna is in possession of all opulences. Prabhupada used to say that do not think that Krishna is a poor man. Krishna is not a poor man. You can estimate that Krishna is one man, one person who is maintaining everyone. Just like in a family, the husband maintains. Just like in a family, the husband maintains all the members. The head of the family may do a job or some business to earn money for the wife and children. So similarly, Krishna is maintaining all other living entities. Nityo Nityanam Chetana Chetananam Eko Bhavanam Vedati Kaman. Nityo Nityanam. Nitya means eternal. The Supreme Lord is eternal and the living entities are eternal. But the sole difference is that this singular living entity is maintaining all other living entities. So he is able to maintain all other living entities because he is in possession of all opulences. Normally, if one has to support a lot of people, one gets broke. But Krishna never gets broke. Through the agency of material nature, he is providing everything that we need for our survival. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa chara charam. This material manifestation is working under my direction. This is the verdict of the Supreme Lord. Further, parsimony, while describing the qualities of the Supreme Lord, says, Aishwarasya samagrasya viryasha yashasha shriya jnana viragya vashchaiva sanna bhaga itingina. That individual could be considered to be the Supreme, who is in possession of six opulences to an unlimited degree, and one of them is Aishwarasya. He is the richest. And in this verse, the word used is Shriya. Shriya Pati Yajna Pati Prajapatir. So Shriya means all opulences. So Krishna is the possessor of all opulences, and therefore Shukadev Goswami is offering him all worship. The director of all sacrifices. So the purpose of all sacrifices is also to please the Supreme Lord. Krishna is also known as Yajnapati. Yajnapati means for one to whom all the sacrifices are meant. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yat dashnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapaswati kaunteya mat tat kurisha mat arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever offerings you make, whatever sacrifices you make, they should all be done as an offering unto me. Bhoktaram yagyatapusam sarvalokamaheshwaram. All the great sages, they used to perform yajna for the pleasure of the Lord. Sarvalokamaheshwaram, because Krishna is the proprietor of all the lokas or all the planets. Narayan paraloka Krishna, that means that Narayan is the proprietor of all different planets. So Krishna over here is being described to be the director of all sacrifices, and therefore it must be clearly understood that all yajnas are meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And if one wants to perform a yajna for one's own benefit, then, or some type of material gain, then that is not very intelligent. The owner of the real proprietor, the real goal of all yajnas is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the leader of all living entities. So Krishna is the leader of all living entities, as Shukadev Goswami hereby is describing. Krishna is the leader. Prabhupada used to say, we do not belong to this political party or that party. We just belong to Krishna's party. Why? Because Krishna is the leader of all living entities. And wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is bound to be victory. So, once we acknowledge that Krishna is the leader of all living entities, then we automatically take shelter of Krishna. And one who takes shelter of Krishna is guaranteed. Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashyati. One who takes shelter of me will definitely realize freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So Krishna is the leader of all living entities, and this should never be forgotten. Unfortunately, in the material world, in material existence, we all tend to associate with a leader. Let's say, the Prime Minister of this country. Everybody wants to get friendly with the Prime Minister. Then, even amongst us different countries on this planet, there's some countries that are more powerful than others. Say everyone wants to get friendly with those who are more powerful, isn't it? The goal is to associate with a leader. And if one becomes a leader, everyone wants to take credit. Everyone says, oh, I gave him this, I helped him this, so he's become a leader. Just like Prabhupada's been so successful, we've met hundreds of people who all claim credit for Prabhupada's success. So there is a tendency in the material world to associate with the leaders. So why not associate with a real leader? That is Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami has very clearly stated, he is the leader of all living entities. So being a leader means we follow his path. You can't accept a leader and not follow his direction. The leader's direction has to be followed. In other words, what Krishna is saying in the revealed scriptures, it has to be followed. So Krishna is the leader of all living entities and the controller of all intelligence. In other words, the source of our intelligence and forgetfulness is also Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita where the Lord says, Sarvasya Chaham Hirdi Sani Vishto Mataha Smriti Jnanam Apahanam Cha, that I am the source of intelligence and I am the source of forgetfulness. This may sound a little baffling as to why would the Supreme Lord give one the intelligence to criticize him? Why would the Supreme Lord give one the intelligence to declare that God is dead? Normally, if this is within your power, you don't want to give the other person the freedom to criticize you, isn't it? But why has the Supreme Lord given this freedom? Because he is a source of intelligence and forgetfulness. So the ability to criticize the Supreme Lord is also coming from the Supreme Lord. And the answer lies in the fact that Krishna has given each of us intelligent freedom. And the freedom is that we decide whether we want to worship him or not. Just like in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna pleaded complete confusion. And hence, Krishna started imparting the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna questioned Arjuna if his illusion was now gone. And when Arjuna said, yes, my illusion is now gone, Krishna said, now you may do as you like. In other words, the Supreme Lord wants voluntary service. Therefore, Prabhupada used to very often say that our movement is based upon voluntary devotional service. One of the characteristics of devotional service is that it is very rarely awarded, because through the medium of devotional service, one can order Krishna around, and nobody wants to be ordered around. But through the medium of devotional service, you can get to the stage of ordering Krishna around. You can get to the stage of purchasing Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has stated that devotional service is very rarely awarded. So the point to understand is that if we voluntarily desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna will give us the necessary intelligence. And if we desire to forget him, then also the necessary facility will be created. Why is it that only a handful of people have come to Krishna consciousness? Why? There's so many religious organizations, there's no shortage of them. In fact, this is being accepted as the easiest process of making money all over the world today. So why is it that not everybody is coming to Krishna consciousness? Because the majority of the people who claim to seek spiritual path are not interested in genuine spiritual life. Therefore, Krishna within the heart as a Paramatma is not guiding them to the right source. But when Krishna as the Paramatma sees that the individual has a sincere desire, then regardless of the location of one's birth or regardless of the faith in which one may be born, Krishna guides the individual to the right path. The real test of religion is the extent to which it enables us to develop love of God and give up sinful activities. Phalena parichat. This is the real test of religion. So Krishna is the controller of all intelligence. And when Krishna sees that we have the desire to worship him, when Krishna sees that we have the desire to surrender unto him, then Krishna reciprocates, ye yathamam prapadyante. All of them as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the degree to which Krishna takes control of the devotee is based upon the extent to which the devotee on a voluntary basis wants to surrender to the Lord. It should never be forgotten that surrender to Krishna is voluntary. It is not that Krishna is going to force one to surrender, but if, of course, when Krishna sees that the devotee is sincere in serving him, then Krishna may take away everything from the devotee. Just like Krishna says in the 11th canto to Maharaj Yudhishthira, that the special mercy of mine upon my devotee is I take away everything. I take away all his material possession. By taking away all of his material possession, what does Krishna do? It makes him completely dependent upon him. When one has material possessions, when one has some material assets, then one falls under the illusory concept that these material assets or possessions can give me shelter. Isn't it? When you go to a millionaire and tell him, "Sir, why don't you take shelter of Krishna? He'll protect you." He doesn't believe in that, because he thinks that his money can buy his way wherever he wants. So the special mercy of Krishna upon the devotee is, he makes him completely dependent upon him. One should not think that withdrawal of material facilities is a handicap. It may be a material handicap, but what is a material handicap becomes a spiritual liability, becomes a spiritual asset. A material handicap becomes a spiritual asset, and a material asset becomes a spiritual liability. So, those who are born in very opulent circumstances, or just like the Bhagavatam says, one who is very educated, or one who is very beautiful, or one who is very rich, or one who has a very surrendered wife, to him, the path of self-realization becomes very difficult. This is the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because when you have these things, it is difficult to understand that you need the Supreme Lord's protection. So the point to understand is that the Supreme Lord protects the devotee in proportion to his degree of surrender. And when Krishna sees that one is on the path of surrender, then Krishna even takes away everything material. Krishna took away everything from the Pandavas. Why? Even Bhima, on his deathbed, could not understand why the Pandavas had to go through all these difficulties. When Bhima was about to die, lying on the bed of arrows, he expressed when he saw the Pandavas next to him and Krishna, that he could not understand why they had to go through all these severe difficulties. So that was the special mercy of the Lord in order to make the devotee depend upon him. And this has been very beautifully illustrated by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Queen Kunti has stated, Vipadu santu taha sashva tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yat sayat apunar bhava darshanam. My dear Lord, please may my calamities increase. Because the more the calamities increase, the more I'm forced to depend upon you. And the more I meditate upon your lotus feet, the faster will I realize freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So, when something is withdrawn from a devotee, he just thinks, oh, this is the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is giving me the opportunity to depend upon him. But when the materialist loses something, he just begins to curse all around, and the curse has no limit. Just like Prabhupada used to give the example in the Second World War, the woman went to the church and prayed, please may our father, brothers, sons, so on come back, but when they didn't come back, the whole nation turned atheistic. So the devotee understands that the Lord is the source of everything, the source of all intelligence, and when Krishna sees that the individual has a sincere desire to surrender unto him, then Krishna gives him the necessary guidance and he creates the necessary facility by which one is completely dependent upon him, even if it means the withdrawal of all material facilities. Further, Shukadeva Goswami says, the proprietor of all planets, this we have already discussed, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material. Aham sarvasya pabhavo bataha sarvam pravartate. This is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am the source of everything, both material and spiritual. So it is not to be understood that this material creation is coming from some different source. Krishna has specifically declared in the Bhagavad Gita that He is the source of everything material and spiritual. So the devotee understands that everything is working under the agency of the Supreme Lord, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It is not to be thought that this material manifestation is not a creation of the Supreme Lord's energy. As we said earlier, there are two types of prakriti, apara prakriti and para prakriti. Apara refers to the inferior, which is this material manifestation. And para refers to this transcendental abode of the Lord, which is described to be free of any anxiety at all. Vaikuntha and Kunta. Kunta loka means where there are nothing but miseries, and Vaikuntha dham means where there is no misery at all. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes reference to the Vaikuntha dham by saying, Na tad vasatyo suryo na sashankana pavaka yat gatva na nirantante tad dhama parmambama. So the Lord Swadharma does not require any sunlight or moonlight. In this material manifestation, which belongs to the inferior energy of the Lord, if there is no electricity, there is complete blackout. And in that blackout, you can't see anything. But in the spiritual abode of the Lord, there is no need of moonlight or sunlight. Nautat bhasate surya. Krishna is himself saying, there is no need of any moonlight or sunlight over there. Nasashankana pavaka yat gatva nas nivrantante tad dhama parmam mama. That dhama or abode of mine is supreme, and whoever who goes there never comes back to this material world. So Krishna is the owner of all the planets, spiritual and material. This should not be forgotten. The Mayavadis say that this material manifestation is false. They say everything, jagat mithya, everything is false, so we should not touch anything. But the devotees of Krishna say, no, it is not false, but it is temporary. If Krishna is real, how can his creation be unreal? If the Father is real, how can his Son be unreal? But the creation becomes unreal when it is not put to the real purpose. And what is the real purpose? Utilization in the service of the Supreme Lord. So the point is that this material manifestation, which is also the manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy, this is not false, but rather it is understood to be temporary. And because it is temporary, the intelligent entity understands that some or the other he must establish his relationship with the Supreme Lord, because this is not his permanent residence. Just like you may go to visit some relative of some friend, but you don't feel very comfortable there. Doesn't matter how close a friend he may be, you still don't feel the same you would feel at your own house, isn't it? Just like even within our ISKCON society, a devotee, let's say, based in the Bombay temple, he may go and visit the other temples, but still you don't get the same feeling that you get when you are in your own temple of residence, isn't it? You're always looking forward to coming back. So this is very normal. Similarly, a real residence is the abode of the Supreme Lord. And unless one goes back to the abode of the Lord, one cannot be happy or comfortable. And further, Shukadeva Goswami says that Krishna is the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all. In the Bhagavatam, there is description of the different incarnations of the Lord. But the conclusion is stated in the following words. Ete chansa kala punsa krishna tyu bhagwan swayam. There are so many incarnations that Shukadeva Goswami has described. But krishna tyu bhagwan swayam. But you are the cause of all causes. So there are so many incarnations to which reference is made in the Vedic scriptures. But the original form of the Lord is the form of Krishna. Just like from one candle you may light other candles, the other candles also have the ability to display some power of light, fire. But still, there is an original candle that is responsible for all the other candles being lit. So this same point is being reconfirmed by Shukadeva Goswami in this verse of the Bhagavatam, that He is a supreme incarnation on the earth. Krishna is a supreme incarnation, and His incarnation is so powerful that if one just understands the purpose of His appearance and disappearance, one is able to realize freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Janma karma chame devyam evam vidhi tatpataha tyakta deham punar janma naiti mamiti sarajana. This is the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, that one who understands the nature of my appearance and disappearance, he can free himself from the cycle of birth and death.
Hare Krishna.